Open up to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at a real familiar verse with you. You know, last Sunday I taught a message called Ammunition Against Deception, because right now it seems like there's always been many deceivers gone out into the world. John talked about that in the first century after Christ, the Apostle John. But boy, if it was true then, I wonder what he'd say today. Talk about many deceivers in the world, you know. And so I taught on that to some extent Sunday. And really, I didn't want to really teach on it then, to be honest with you. I don't want to teach on it today either. But it looks like that's what's going to happen anyhow. We just want to get a few simple things. The best word I can come up with is ammunition, but just things that will help navigate through a minefield that the devil's placing out there for all believers. You know, the Bible says the deception is going to get so severe that if it was possible, even the very elect would be deceived. So it's got to be pretty tricky. And one of the things that I said last Sunday is, we don't want to go out beyond the Bible. And that's true, isn't it? But see, you can become so legalistically minded that you miss Jesus. That's what happened with the Pharisees to a large extent. So we're just going to balance out a few things and touch on a few things today. What does it mean to not go beyond the Bible, yet still be led by the Holy Spirit? Well, see, here's the thing. The Word and the Spirit agree. The Word and the Spirit agree. And I think you'll understand more clearly as we go through here. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Real good counsel for anybody. Verse 15, Paul writes to him and he says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Boy, is that not what we all want to do? We want to rightly divide the word of truth. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness." Now the good thing is, he gives us an example of what he's talking about here, so we at least have one example of the kind of babblings and vain talking that he's talking about. This was we today would call heresy, but in the day they were preaching it, they would have called it their revelation from God. And that's these two guys he's talking about here. He says, "Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker." The modern word for that's gangrene. "Of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus." Now, isn't that interesting? I've already received a little bit of flack this week for naming a couple of people. It's scriptural. John does it too over in his letter. Calls out the guy by name and says, "Avoid this guy." Okay? All right. So here we have it. Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Is Paul being wishy-washy here? They're wrong and they're real wrong. Well, what is the revelation that they're teaching on TV? That they were teaching in their day. Well, they were saying they had a revelation. That the resurrection is past already. It's already happened. It's all over. It's too late for you. Okay? And by that, they were overthrowing the faith of some. If someone's on national television, a highly respected pastor who's got a large church of 19,000 members, so we're very respectable and been around a long time, and he's saying to our Jewish brethren, the ones that aren't yet born again, the ones that Paul said, "I wish they could be saved. I would give everything if they could be saved." If he stands up, this fella, and says, "Well, you're okay because Christ didn't come as your Messiah anyhow." If they believe that and they die in that condition, you talk about overthrowing the faith of some. It's got to be called out. And it's got to be said, this is wrong. He has departed from the truth. Because I read you last Sunday that John, who is a Jew, a born-again Jew, the Apostle John, he says, who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? That's just a Greek word for Messiah. He's a liar and has that spirit of Antichrist working in him. Scary stuff. All right, so look at what he's talking about here now. He's saying, now study to show yourself a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed. Now here's an example. These two guys are preaching that the resurrection has already passed. See, you can prove that's not true if you stick with the Bible. Because there's a lot of things that hadn't happened, especially at the time that Paul wrote this. A lot of prophecies that had yet to come to pass before the resurrection can happen. For one thing, Jesus is going to appear like lightning from the east to the west. I haven't heard of that happening yet. You know, when lightning comes, you notice. Now, he doesn't say whether Hymenaeus and Philetus were doing this deceitfully. What I'm saying is, they may have genuinely thought they had a revelation from God. They may have thought they were telling the truth. We're not really told. But Paul says it doesn't matter their intention, the doctrine is wrong. And if people believe it, it's going to overthrow their faith. So we have to stay very close to the Word of God, study to show ourselves approved. But let me show you a difference between being led by the Word only and being led by the Word and the Spirit. Now, go to two places. Go to the last chapter in Mark. This is another one of those days where the Lord did not give me hardly any time to get Scripture or anything together ahead of time, so I'm following Him best I know how. I want you to pinch together Mark 16 and Mark 16 and Acts 16. Now you got to remember, I grew up in a non-spirit-filled denomination. They do believe in the Holy Ghost, and they'll teach about the Holy Ghost, but they really don't believe that the Holy Ghost has come to be your teacher and mentor and guide in the same way that we do. Okay? When you start talking to them about, I heard God this morning, they look at you funny. Okay? Now, they know God can talk, they just don't believe He talks to you. Well, it's kind of like that. And they love God. And many of them lay down their whole lives to serve God. And they want to be missionaries. And they want to be pastors. And they want to serve God. And they're not trying to miss God. But the denomination they're in pretty much isolates them from the Holy Spirit because they don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues. So they're doing the best that they can. Well, in that denomination... Now, see, it is true. I was ministering this week with someone halfway around the world. I really love them. And they're developing their ability to hear the voice of God, and I may talk about that more in a minute. And they said, we really stay in the Word a lot, and they should stay in the Word a lot, because we feel safety there, and God talks to us out of the Word, and He does He not? Absolutely, He does. Now, for example, here in Mark 16, what we call the Great Commission, starting in verse 15. Now, these two verses in that denomination that I grew up in, verses 15 and 16. I mean, you could chisel those verses over the door of those churches. I mean, you talk about this is their creed. This is their life guide. They believe in verses 15 and 16. They do not believe in verses 17 and 18. But boy, verses 15 and 16, they do. Okay? He said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And they're very evangelistically minded. You know, I mean, boy, they are. They want to go do that. They want to go preach the gospel everywhere. Now, just for content's sake, they wouldn't chisel these two verses over the door. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I don't know why they don't chisel those two verses. But anyway, the first two they do. Now, let's say you grew up in that denomination and you're a Word person. And the Lord does speak to you out of the Bible, does He not? I remember when I was about seven years old in that denomination. One time we were going through these verses. And I knew I was called. Way back about 7 years old. Verses 15 and 16. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I knew somehow. My life. I knew He was calling me somehow to that. But I see, if the word, if that's what you have, and many, many people do, that's, you know, they'll hear something like that. They know they've got the calling. So maybe in the denomination I grew up in, there really were only two options. One was pastor. The other was missionary. Everything else had pretty well faded away, except Sunday school teacher. Okay, women could do that. Couldn't do the other two. You could marry a missionary. But anyway. All right. But now let's say that He talks to me out of the Word. Well, He most certainly does. I heard that when I was about 7 years old. Go ye into all the world. Well, let's say that I would have acted on that. But yet I don't have the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Or let's say I do have it, but I've never been trained how to hear His voice. But so all I really have is this right here. Well, hey, it's not bad. You might go to. I started to say cemetery like I usually do. You could go to seminary. You could learn and train with the idea of becoming a missionary, maybe, or a pastor. Let's say missionary, just for teaching purposes. But eventually, you're about to graduate. You know, the time has come. You've finished your training. It's time for you to step out and obey that now. You're ready. Well, now the next question. Where do you go? See, in most of them, it's not that they don't pray about it. They do, and pray, and think, and study, and, well, where does God need me? You know, I mean, where? And eventually, they'll take their best guess. Take a shot. Well, He's called me to here, or He's called me to there. And then they'll do their best. And it's not that God won't bless a ministry like that. He will. You know, Jesus said, you can't even give a cup of cold water in My name and lose your reward for it. So let's say you decide by whatever means, and you may take a long time, but let's just say it's Ethiopia. I don't know. I'm just picking a country. And if you go to Ethiopia and do your best to evangelize and serve the Lord and be a missionary there, is He going to bless that? Absolutely, He's going to bless that. He's going to do whatever He can for you. And you would have Scripture for it, would you not? Does not the Word say, go you into all the world? Is not Ethiopia in the world? I have chapter and verse for going to Ethiopia, and you would. But now the Word and the Spirit agree. Let's look at how this operated in Paul's life. Was he called to go preach the gospel to every creature? All right, go to Acts 16. Many of you know where I'm going already. Now here's Paul, and I think it's Silas. Paul and Silas. And they had finished one assignment. They don't know what to do exactly next. Let's pick it up in verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia. Now notice this. And were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What? Time out. What? 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 Is not Asia in the world? Do I not have chapter and verse? Go ye into all the world? What do you mean the Holy Spirit forbade them to go to Asia? Well, let's see now. Let's read the next verse. We don't want to do anything out of context. Maybe I didn't get that right. So they were come to Mysia. They assayed, that means they thought about going into Bithynia. But the Spirit, capital S, should be capital S, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. That means He did not allow it. Now, wait a minute. Time out again. Is not Bithynia in the world? I can just hear this conversation. Now, here's Paul and Silas. They're trying to figure out what to do. Well, maybe we ought to go. What was the first place? We ought to go to Asia. And the Holy Ghost says no. I don't know how the Holy Ghost said no. I don't know whether it was tongues and interpretation. I don't know exactly how it came, but it's real clear. I mean, the Holy Ghost didn't stutter either. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost came and says, I would like for you to consider not going. What does it say? He forbade them They were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. That's pretty strong. You know why it's that way? Because it wasn't the mind of Christ at that moment that they go to Asia. But I can almost hear this discussion after they, okay, well, he doesn't want us to go to Asia. He forbid it. Okay, we got that. So they're, well, I wonder where he does want us to go. Maybe Silas goes, Paul, you ever been to Bithynia? No, I've never been there. I was there once. I'm telling you, ain't nothing but a bunch of heathens. If anybody needs the gospel, it is them Bithynians. I'm telling you, that's probably where the Lord wants us to go, is Bithynia. Bunch of heathens over there. I'm just... the way we... Besides that, there was a survey last year. And not even 1% of Bithynia is Christian. I'm telling you, that's where we ought to go. See, that's how they make those decisions. You know? But it says... the Holy Spirit, so when they prayed about it, however the Holy Spirit revealed it to them, the Holy Spirit permitted it not. I mean, he did not stutter. No. Now, it's accurately saying the Holy Spirit, but all those teachings that I've done in the past, when it talks about Jesus saying, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to leave you on your own to find your own way. I'm going to send you the Spirit of truth. He's not going to speak of his own, but what he hears, that's what he's going to speak. In other words, the Holy Spirit has not come to be their Lord. He has come to bring them the Lordship of Christ. The reason he's not permitting it, it's not the mind of Christ for them to go at that moment. Now, later on, you'll read another time, Paul spent a couple of years in Asia, which is Ephesus, is one of those places. So it's not that Jesus didn't want the gospel preached in Asia. How many of you know Jesus is alive and well? He has a present hour mind. He has a plan for the prayer center. He has a plan for Tulsa. He has a plan for each one of you at the prayer center. And guess what? His plan for Sir Sue and I in 2003 is not the same as his plan for us in 2008. 2003. Now, if I was going to just stay in that pattern, we were traveling all over the world. That's the year that we went to Poland and went to Africa and went to Korea, besides traveling all over everywhere. And it was the mind of Christ that we do it. And that was, you know. Now, if I would have quit listening and stayed in that pattern, we'd still be doing that probably today. But see, there is a present hour speaking the mind of Christ. Does it disagree with the Word? No, it agrees with the Word. What he told us to do was come off the road and make all of the teachings that we've done over the last 20 years, make them all available on the internet free like water. So that's what we did. And then right now he wants us here during this season. So Dave, not, you know, it's us and Alan and Tim and Travis and whoever else the Lord would have speak, so that Dave can do these seeking times to finish up what he's been called to do here. And I count that an honor, but I can't be doing that if I'm in Poland. You got to follow instructions. Okay. So can you see? Yes, the Lord can speak to you out of His Word. You'll hear the call. You'll get the general idea. Yeah, I'm called to go into all the world. Or whatever it is that He would speak to you. But beyond that, there is a present hour leadership from the mind of Christ that comes by the Holy Spirit. You got that? Now, I should have printed out a copy of this. Someone sent me I had it already, but I hadn't read it in years. It's a prophecy that came to a man named Stanley Frodesham, and this happened. This prophecy came 5 years. He was a personal friend of Smith Wigglesworth, and this prophecy came 5 years before he died. It's pretty long, but the part I want to share with you was talking about end time deception and how it would come from the pulpit. I'm going to paraphrase it, but this was the gist of it. He says these men will come, and at first, I mean, they're preaching Jesus. They're preaching in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, they could never get inside the sheepfold. You got that? And at first, they're going to be preaching the Word, because otherwise, nobody would listen to them. And so they're going to gain the trust of the people at first, and this at first may mean for years, teaching true revelation from the Word of God. But here's how the deception will come. Then slowly, little by little, they'll begin to teach things that you cannot verify from the Bible. And the attitude of the people will be, well, okay, we can't really find this exactly in the Word of God. But everything he taught us before was true. This must be true also. And by that method, little by little, you know, we call it getting 1 degree off at first. But if you get 1 or 2 degrees off on a long journey, by the time you get halfway around the world, you're hundreds of miles off. Amen. You'll miss the mark completely. Well, Gary, what would be a good example of that? How many of you know angels are in the Bible? Angels, where there's lots of references, Old Testament and New, about angels. Well, some of the revelations going forth today, talking about female angels. One of them is the angel Emma. And some of these are taught by people that are pretty well known and well respected in the body of Christ. And they have visitations from the angel Emma and other angels. All right, now here we go. See, because we're going to study ourselves. Yeah. Study to show ourselves approved workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay? Number one, are angels in the Bible? All right? If you'll study, though, you'll find out. I'm not really sure if they have a gender or not, because Jesus said that they don't procreate. So they don't have a gender in the same sense that human beings do, male and female. Right on the other hand, though, if you'll study, every single time that we're given the description or the name of an angel, they are always, every time, 100% represented as being male. Where you leave the Bible is when you start having encounters with female angels that have a female name, that represent themselves as being female. Turn to Zechariah chapter 5. I've taught this before and gotten some flack over it from more than one person, so don't think it's just you. Zechariah, you know, that's on page 1118. It's okay to use the table of contents. Now, this was first, when I first began teaching this at another place, about no female angels. See, this is where you leave the Bible, and I'll show you what I mean by that. Then, you know, they were grasping at straws desperately to find something in the Bible to prove to me that there is female angels. So this was the only thing that anybody's ever come up with so far. But I've received it from more than one person, the first time about 3 years ago. Several now have done it. And they here we go again, lifting a verse out of its setting. Okay? So Zechariah chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "Then lifted I up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women." Okay? "And the wind was in their wings." Huh? Women with wings. "For they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said unto me, to build an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established to set there upon her own base." Okay, we're not going to teach on that. They're using that verse, though. They're going, "See there, Brother Gary? Women with wings. What do you think those are, Brother Gary?" And I'm ready for them now. I didn't know so much at first. I said, "I know what those are. Those are fairies." They go, "No, they're not fairies. They're angels." And I said, "Well, I have as much Bible evidence that they're fairies that you do that they're angels. But where are you getting this?" In fact, if you'll really look at what it says, look at verse, after he saw it in verse 10, "After I saw the women with wings, then I turned to the angel that talked with me." Wouldn't he have said, "After I saw the two women angels, I talked to the male angel"? Let's go a little bit more than that. I don't want that to be enough for you. Now see, I believe in taking the Bible literally whenever you can, and most of the time you can. But you do know that the Bible is also full of all kinds of symbols. Just read the book of Revelations. Dragons and all kinds of things, you know, what I mean, going on there. Well, let's look at how this chapter starts. In by the way, you can just read the whole book of Zechariah and you'll see it's full of symbolism. The Lord is showing the prophet by visions things hard to be understood. And he's bringing it down into things that we do understand, trying to explain heavenly things that's difficult to understand. Now, for example here, if we're going to take it literally, like those two women with wings. Well, then I turned and lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a flying roll. I've been to that place. It's called Lambert's, home of the flying roll. Isn't that? It's in Missouri. Home of the... Oh, yeah. What is it? Home of the throwed rolls. There it is. Well, there it is. Once they throw them, they're flying. Boom, through the air. Well, I saw a flying roll. And he said unto me, what seest thou? And I answered, I see a flying roll. The length thereof is 20 cubits. That's some roll. Cubit is the length from your elbow to your wrist, roughly. 20 of them rascals. That's a big roll. 20 cubits, and the breadth thereof is 10 cubits. That's a biscuit now, I'm telling you. Well, what is it? Well, then he said unto me, this is a curse that goeth forth over the face of the whole earth. For everyone that stealeth shall be cut off as on this side according to it, and everyone that sweareth shall be cut off as on that side according to it. I will bring it forth, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall enter into the house of the thief, and into the house of him that sweareth falsely by my name. And it shall remain in the midst of his house, and shall consume it with the timber thereof and the stones thereof. Now, I was using a funny to make it, it's a biscuit. He's really talking about a scroll here. A scroll, okay? Like they would write on in the Old Testament. And it's a flying scroll. Now, do you think the curse is literally a flying scroll, 20 cubits by 10 cubits, that you can see coming over the horizon? What would you do if you saw it coming? What's God trying to get across to the prophet? Well, what is that curse? It's represented by the word of the Lord all the way back. Choose this day, blessing and cursing. If you do the law, I'll bless you. If you violate it, you're cursed. And here comes the curse. If you violate it, it's going to find your house and it will destroy. He's just trying to illustrate that. But you can't take that and say, well, see there, the curse is a literal flying roll. If it's coming, you better run. Well, in the same way, coming on down there where he's talking about those two women, let's just read it all. Let's leave it all in the setting. I'm not really teaching on that part of it today, but I look at verse 5. Zechariah 5:5. Is this okay with you guys? Then the angel that talked with me went forth and said unto me, now lift up thine eyes and see what this is that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. I hope I'm saying that right. Ephah. He said, moreover, this is their resemblance throughout all the earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talent of lead. Now I know that represents something heavy, lead, okay? And this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Got it? Now we're going to take it literal, right? You got an ephah, which is some kind of bucket or some kind of container. You got a heavy lid. But before you put the lid on it, you're looking in there. What are you seeing? A woman. We knew it all the time, didn't we, men? Because verse 8 said, this is wickedness. If you're going to take it literal, but what he's trying to teach, he's using symbolism to teach. He's saying this represents wickedness. So what they do is they take that big heavy lid and they put it on the pot. You cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. We're going to cover up this wickedness and seal it up in there. And then what's going to happen? Well, that's when he sees these two women coming with wings. And they lift up this ephah and they carry it away to another place. Now this is all symbolic. Is that wickedness? Don't answer, men. Women? Come on now. No. I expected to hear a thunderous no. No, he's not saying that. He's teaching, trying to symbolize what the Lord is about to do. He's going to remove wickedness. away from Israel. It really, if he's going to take symbolism that's consistent with the Bible, do you know in the book of Proverbs and other places, wisdom is usually referred to as a she. Wisdom is like a she. We're talking about Mother's Day. I don't know why this is coming out today, but wisdom is often referred to as a woman, especially in Proverbs. So if anything, it's probably symbolic of God's wisdom removing wickedness from the land of Israel. But I don't think there was literally a woman named Wickedness in the pot. And I don't think first there came a flying robe across the heavens. Well, that's what I'm saying. See, they're grasping at straws. They're, in order for their revelations, the ones that's being taught right now, to be valid, they have to try and find somewhere in the Bible where there's female angels. So that's why I just flat tell them, I say, I was talking with a minister recently, and, you know, I believe in being gentle and not striving. I really do. But I also believe in not, when the phone hangs up, they know where I stand. So with all the love I could muster, I said, you do understand that angel Emma is a demon. Do you understand me? It is a demon masquerading as an angel of light. And you're listening to a demon, and it's going to carry you to destruction, not only of yourself, but as many people as that devil can possibly get to follow you. You better forsake it now, because the Word and the Spirit agree. Now, I believe in studying the Bible. I know God. He talks to me all the time out of chapter and verse and corrects me and really change, you know, corrects my heart. I was just listening to Tim this morning. See, I've got to balance being correct and not forsaking. In other words, not being wishy-washy. But at the same time, I don't want to come across as harsh. And so I was listening to Tim teach this morning about the servant of God must not strive and all of that. But then right on the other hand, Jesus says, you whitewash tombstones, you vipers. So there's a balance there to walk, you know. So I want to do it in love, but I don't want to be on the fence. I don't want them to not know where I stand. And I'm willing to die for what I stand. And it's going to get even more so. I'm telling you, fence riding is going to become very difficult in the last days. Make up your mind. Yes, sir. Okay. Now, that was pretty good, wasn't it? That help you a little bit? There is no such thing. You will never find it. If you do find it, I'd love to see it. If you can find anywhere in the Bible where there is a genuine reference to a female angel, I would love to see it. But I have studied it, and so far I can't find it. And it's certainly not that one. There's just as much evidence that those are fairies as they are angels, okay? So give it up. Yes, sir. Now, it's amazing to me how the Holy Spirit orchestrates these things, because I knew what this message was going to be before I heard Tim this morning. But in hearing Tim, then I got even more out of it. See, because what's coming now, what Tim was really starting off with this morning was the prophecies that have come through Pastor Dave so far this year. And within maybe 2 weeks, they're going to be available to you on a CD and in printed form. Well, all of those prophecies, I've done it for years. I don't do it on every single one now. I did it first because I didn't trust Dave. What do you mean you didn't trust Dave? He's a man. I'd been burned by well-meaning preachers before that thought they were leading me towards God, that was leading me down a primrose path. So, you know, we started here. I'm going, well, he seems like a nice fella. Doesn't seem like he'd lie to me. Didn't seem like the last guy would either, but he did. Didn't intend to, but he did anyhow. You know, he had good intentions, but that leads to hell too, if it's not the truth. You know? So in the beginning, when these prophecies would just come and come, oh, I'd search and see if I could find chapter and verse, and I did. I mean, to the point I got convinced, okay, this guy, here's God, you know? Well, those prophecies that come forward, guess what? The Word and the Spirit agree. The Word and the Spirit agree. And just listening to those again this morning. See, those are instructions. Those are present hour instructions from the mind of Christ. And if you're a part of the prayer center, and that doesn't mean you're just physically here. It means if you're connected with this vision living anywhere around the world, those are instructions for the prayer center, including you. I brought this little word from the face-to-face documents at my website. Tim's read it before and I've read it before, but in the light of this teaching today, I want you to hear it again. And if you want to look it up at the website, this one is F980902, titled The Works of the Father, I believe. Yes, The Works of the Father. And it says, it is the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man. No, excuse me. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit, listen, and hearken to the counsel of my Father's Spirit as He brings my mind to them. For His mind is the will of the Father. His mind is made fully known unto the Spirit of truth. And the Comforter will take of His and show all things unto His brethren, if they will sit, listen, and hearken, as the Spirit brings the voice of Him who speaks from heaven to the earth. Now let's talk about sit, listen, and hearken for a minute. Why sit? Now here we go. We're going to get literal. He won't speak to you unless you're sitting down. Do you think that's what He means by that? No. No. What He does mean is you're going to have to learn to get your flesh and your soul quiet. When Sue and I first, when I left the trucks and came here, and see, in the trucks it was real easy, because if you're driving an 80,000-pound rig down the highway and through Memphis traffic, praying in other tongues, you better have your mind on what you're doing. And see, and that's the beauty of praying in other tongues. At that moment, even though your spirit is communicating mysteries with the Father, your mind at that moment is unfruitful. And you can have your mind on doing whatever you need to be doing, whether it's driving a truck, mowing the lawn, changing the diapers, whatever it is you're doing. Okay? And then even when I left the trucks and came here, well, now I don't have all of that busyness to occupy my mind. So I would come, and in those days they were having that prayer thing from 6 o'clock Friday evening till mid, was it 6 o'clock Saturday evening. Oh, brother, I don't have anything to occupy my mind. Man, I'd walk that green line. It's like my flesh could not be quiet. I would try and sit. You know, Dave would say, we want you to hang your mantle up on the hook out there when you walk in the door. We know that you're a prophet and an apostle, both probably, but please hang your mantle up. Just come in. Epoxy your britches. How many remember that? Epoxy your britches to a chair and spend the time praying in the Spirit. I could do it for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then I'd get... what? Do y'all understand antsy? It's like ants are crawling all over you. You got to move, you know. You can't just sit there when you're antsy, you know. So I'd get up, and I wasn't the only one. You could tell we had a lot of flesh, you know, early flesh creatures here. We had like a train going around this green line. I mean, you know, just going around the green line. And pretty soon some would be going clockwise and some would be going counterclockwise. And soon one or the other would win, you know. And we'd all be flowing around here, you know. And, I couldn't just be quiet, you know. And, a lot of people are that way. A lot of people can't be quiet at any time. They've got to have the TV going. If you're in the car, you've got to have the radio going. You better have music going. You've got to have noise all the time. Why? You're almost afraid to be quiet. You don't know what you want to hear. You know. Got to keep that soul occupied all the time, all the time. But thank God, Dave says, you know, boy, if you write anything down, write this down. The longer you pray, the quieter you get. Now, what he meant by that, he says, if I only had 6 hours a week to pray, now that's just for teaching purposes, rather than spend 1 hour each day praying in tongues, Dave says, I think it'd be better to spend 6 hours on one day praying in tongues. Because the longer you pray, like at one time, the quieter you get. Well, boy, we found that out. I mean, the flesh rebelled against that. Here we are on Friday night, starting to pray at 6. I'm planning on praying till midnight. Glory to God. I mean, 15 minutes into it, if I don't move, I'm going to die. If I don't move, I want to go talk to somebody. And we had a lot of that going on, too. I mean, anyway. So I get up and I'm better to walk and pray than not pray at all. Remember our motto at the prayer center. Better is a creep that prays than a creep that doesn't pray. If you can only pray while you're walking, then walk and pray. It's okay. But see, eventually what will happen, you're building up, you truly are building up that spirit man on the inside of you. You're edifying yourself, praying in the Holy Ghost, and your spirit man is actually gaining dominance over the flesh. And truly, the flesh is not only the physical body with the appetites and lusts of it, it's every part of the soul that has not yet been renewed to the mind of Christ. That's the flesh. Your spirit man begins taking dominance. And you'll find out, I mean, what I couldn't used to do then, as I continued that process over the years, I used to sit at the ugly building. Time would just vanish. 4 hours, 5 hours would go by. I couldn't hardly believe it. I'd look at my watch. And what happens then, you start getting to a place of quietness on the inside where you begin to hear Him. And that's where, see, sit, what He really means by that is learn to get quiet. That's really what He's, with that sit thing, that's what He's talking about. If you can't do it at first, pray and walk, pray and dance, whatever you got to do. But continue, you will learn eventually to begin, start being quiet. Whether you're literally sitting or not. I hear Him all, I don't hear Him just when I'm sitting. I hear Him when I'm driving. I hear Him when I'm mowing. I hear Him other times. But there comes that time where, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, right there. Anyway. Let me go back to my friend halfway around the world. And she was sharing with me, says, since the first of this year, I've set a regimen of praying 3 hours a day. Hey, that's pretty good. Without doing other things. That's not including praying while you're doing dishes and all the other stuff. And she says, now, the first email before this one, let me tell you that one, brother, is in a nutshell, Brother Gary, I just can't hear God. I get that all the time. You know? So I emailed her back. And I, you know, and shared a few things. Then she emailed me back. Said, well, now, since the first of the year, I set a regimen for myself of praying 3 hours every day. And she talked about some of the things going through there. But at one point, I got a real glimpse of what's going on. Because she said, and I've been getting this impression from the Lord. She says, up until now, she says, my mind is very creative. And the thing I've loved about praying in tongues is that I could be thinking about anything that I wanted. I could even be thinking about my next project and just be praying in other tongues. But here lately, Gary, after praying 3 hours every day since the first of the year, here lately, I've been getting this... What was the word she used? I feel like the Lord is saying that He would like for me to just get quiet and listen. Now see, there comes a time in your training process. In the early days, hey, your spirit man, praying away, your mind is so far in left field of what He's... You don't know what His plan is for your life anyhow. Just don't try and figure it out. Just pray it out. But see, eventually, what's going to happen, you get to the place where it's time for you to start hearing back. It's time for you to start hearing, don't go to Bithynia and don't go to Asia. Let me show you this vision where I want you to come over into Macedonia. There comes a time when it's time to start sitting down. Yes, sir. I'm going to use her words again. She says, and I think what he's saying to me is that I can't from this point on just let my mind wander anymore. It's like he wants me standing at attention with my soul, listening for whatever he might say. We have a lesson from the book of Proverbs called the Listening Post. Wisdom says, if you want wisdom, then you need to be daily at wisdom's house, standing at the post of the doors. Picture in the South, the old South, one of those big plantations with all, And, you know, let's say I'm a servant in the field, but I don't know what to do every day. I got to come to the master's house with all the other servants, and we got to stand and wait for the door to open. So when the master comes out, he can give instructions to me and instructions to you and instructions. This is what we need to do today. Well, see, you get to the place where it's time to sit. That means be quiet. Listen. Learn to hear his voice for you. And then that last one is hearken unto whatever he says. Well, I'm so excited for my friend. I said, what do you mean you can't hear God? You're at the greatest threshold of your life. You've graduated to the listening place. You're not just... Sure, I mean, you can still pray. All those times, driving the car, doing the laundry. You can still pray. But you've graduated to the place now. He's instructing you to set time aside. Learn to sit. Let's say, be quiet. Listen for your master's voice. And then... See, those words, if he's the master and you're the servant, his words become your life. People are always asking me, when are you coming back to Florida? When are you coming back to Kentucky? When are you coming back to teach? When are you going to do this? And I go, I don't have a clue. You're talking to me like it's up to me. It's not up to me. I just work here. I would love to go... Hey, these people are inviting me to go to, what is that? Cape on the bottom of Africa? Cape Town. And all of that. Man, that's a nice place to go. I had never been there, but they send me pictures. This other friend of mine who's got a real tough assignment. Don't get mad at me, Vince. He's called to the Bahamas. And it really is tough. It's a lot tougher than you think. It sounds great, doesn't it? But that's because you're thinking vacation. But anyway, it really is tough. But he sends me pictures. Then there's Bronk down in Florida. Calls me up in the dead of winter. What's the weather like there? That's 24 degrees with a stiff wind out of the north. Oh, really? Well, that's a shame. Candy and I are leaving for the beach here in about 30 minutes. It's 85 here in the beautiful blue sky. We'll be thinking of you. You ever think about coming back to Florida? I rebuke you, devil. But it's not up to me. It's not. If it was up to me, we'd be there. Now, let me read that to you again. If the greatest heart cry of the exalted Son of Man could be heard upon the earth today, it would be this. Oh, that my brethren would sit. Now, that just means be quiet. Get that flesh and that soul under control. Get to the place where you can sit and learn to be quiet. No radio. I'm not against radio. I'm not against worship music. I'm not against CDs. I'm not against any of that. But there comes a time when you need to be quiet. Learn to listen. Learn to listen for His voice. Then we could teach another whole lesson right now. Capture it some way. Have a tape recorder with you. Have a notepad with you all the time. Have some way. I mean, it is the His words will become are going to become your life. His words become your mission. They become everything. It's the most His words by the Holy Spirit are the most precious commodity you'll ever have. Boy, when it comes, you don't want to miss it. You don't want to leave it to chance. You don't want to leave it to your memory. Capture it. Somehow get it down on paper. Somehow get it captured. Those face-to-face ones came to me by learning to just, as I would hear, I would speak into a recorder. And then later I just typed them up. Well, many of those things are still. We're still walking out some of them. But then hearken to it. Now, even when it comes to hearken... Yes, sir. Most of you have heard this old joke before. It'll do you good anyway. Dave told it. I'm going to tell it again. Now, see, here's what usually happens when you first start really hearing back. You jump to conclusions. Because you're so used to running your own life, You'll hear a little bit of what he says. You'll hear 10% of what he says and add 90% of your own understanding on how to accomplish it. It's like the guy that really sat and listened. And he heard the Lord say, just China. Man, this guy wanted to serve God and obey God. I mean, he gathered up his family. They sold their business, sold their house, took his wife and kids, moved to China to become missionaries. Stayed over there 2 years. Whole family got sick. Wife divorced and left him. Didn't win even one person to Jesus. Came back broke, sick himself. Started praying to God. God, why did you send me to China? Why did you send me to China? And the Lord says, it was Mother's Day. I wanted you to buy your mother some China. You just heard one word and ran off with all the rest of it. Now that's kind of an extreme joke, but that's exactly what we do. Another thing in those face-to-face instructions, he says, what general would send his troops out without the battle plan? He says, the trouble is my people don't listen long enough to even begin to get my instructions for what I've called them to do. He said, it's okay to ask what, when, how, who, all of those things. He says, I don't always answer why. Why is it so quiet? He doesn't always answer why. You'll find that out. It's kind of like the military in a way. It's on a need-to-know basis. There's things you need to know, some things you don't need to know. Okay? But it behooves us to stay in His presence long enough. Behooves, that's a word I don't use much. It would be to our benefit to stay in His presence long enough. And again now, who's someone you admire? How about Pastor Dave? What if you had a 2-hour appointment one day this week, and you're going to be able to sit across the desk from Dave and ask him any question that you want? How many of you think it might be a good idea to take a notepad in there with you? In other words, you're going to want to capture some of that wisdom, are you not? Or a recorder or something. See, that's what I'm saying. When you start if you've been going here, I'm looking around at the faces that I see, you've been going here long enough, most of you are now at that place where it's not just a matter of praying endless hours and, you know, it's time to sit, get what that means, get quiet, learn to listen at the post of your master's doors, recognize his voice when he speaks to you. And if you need counsel from the Word, there's been things he said to me going, I said right back to him, you got to show me that in the Word. I'm not going to act on that at all if you don't show me in the Word. And he without fail, he has. Okay? Without fail. All right? And then you begin to act on it. But don't run off like the guy that went to China. You know he has all eternity for you? You know, He's got all eternity. He has time for you to pray this out. And then start doing it. Gary, have you ever heard what you thought was him, and it turned out not to be him? Oh no, not me. Oh yes, okay. You know how Dave teaches that thing? Brother Dave, God told me to go to the barber shop at 2:00. Told me there'd be somebody for me to witness to in that barber chair. Brother Dave, I went to the barber shop at 2:00, and the barber shop was closed. And there wasn't anybody even on the street for me to witness to. Brother Dave, why would God send me to the barber shop at 2:00? Dave, with all of his humility, goes, He didn't send you. He didn't send you. Let me just put it to you this way. I've made my trips to the barber shop at 2:00. Everybody I know has. That's part of the learning process. Be willing to get out there and take your lumps like the rest of us. But don't then insist that it was God that sent you when it wasn't. Say, okay, I'm learning. That wasn't Him. But I'm telling you, you get to the place where that gets far and few between. far and few between, you get to the place where you hear Him and you know that you hear Him. Praise the Lord. Is this helping y'all at all? Praise the Lord. Now, the Word, say it with me. The Word and the Spirit agree. There are no female angels. And I'm not going beyond the Bible. I don't care who you are. The Word and the Spirit agree. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Word, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you that they agree. Hallelujah.